tea time. Yeah. Making a difference, one cup at a time. Tea time. So be sure to grab your tea, grab a seat, and tune in to Miss Liz. Tea time. Making a difference, one cup at a time. Tea time, yeah.
Well, welcome to Tea Time, guys. Today we have a special tea time going on. We have two double dippers. That's right. We have two returning guests that are coming back from season four. They had so much fun the first time, so they're back for the second time. And we're going to dig a little deeper into their teas today and get to know them a little bit more. So if you haven't subscribed to Miss Liz's YouTube channel, please run over there, ring that little doorbell, be notified when all these incredible tea times are coming up, and watch them at your own pace. And give Miss Liz some feedback, because I always love to hear the feedback. So we're going to get started. We're going to do a disclaimer. We're going to do a little bit of bio on Rick. And then we're going to talk about music, peace, snow. We're going to talk about a bunch of things. And we're also going to talk about his TEA today. So let's get started. So the disclaimer for Miss Liz's live Tea Time live shows. Miss Liz is going live using StreamYard. Before leaving a comment, please grant StreamYard permission to see your name at StreamYard.com. Please be advised that the content brought forward for any Tea Time show hosted by myself, Miss Liz, is always brought forward in good faith. However, may bring forth dialogues and opinions that are not representative of my platform. The facts and information are perceived to be accurate at the giving time of airing. All Tea Time guests and audience participants are responsible for using their good judgment in taking any action that may relate to the discussion. The content brought forward may include discussions for some where they may be emotionally at risk. It's significant to know that this show is engaging in discussion forums only to offer and inspire awareness and connection, and is not providing therapeutical advice. If you have any questions about the disclaimer or the panelist discussion, you may freely contact me, Miss Liz, through my email at bookingmissliz@gmail.com. Moving forward, should you choose to voluntarily participate in today's show in any aspect, I myself, Miss Liz, welcomes you. And should you decide that the show is not made for you at this time, I respect those wishes and will see you at a later date and later dating time. And again, all tea times are done on Thursday, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There is no more morning shows. Miss Liz has removed those. If you'd like to see the morning shows, you can go over to the YouTube channel and check those out. Also, I want to give you a shout. I want to give a special shout out to Best Version Media for supporting Miss Liz, and also to Stock Today and Best Stocks for sharing my press release with your audience and your readers. So again, thank you to the three of you guys for supporting Miss Liz. So now let me give you a little bit on Rick. Who is Rick? Well, Rick Delarada is now considered by many to be one of the finest singers and pianists performing today, and one of only a handful of jazz artists who can make a successful musical presentation to a large advance people to their highest potential through the understanding of jazz, as well as spreading peace worldwide. Through his Jazz Peace World Tour, Rick Delarada is considered to be an innovator and a visionary. So let me get Rick in here and spill some tea. And I do apologize for any background noise. We do have some stuff going on a little bit above Miss Liz. So let me get Rick in here. Welcome, Rick.
Hey, how are you?
I am awesome. We were having so much fun in the back that we were like, oh, no, we got to get going here.
You know, people have trouble with that word there, pianist. Some people say pianist. You were the first one I said that said pianolist.
Right? My tongue just wanted to roll a little extra.
Well, it's a combination of what I am today. I'm a pianist and a panelist on your show. So you invented a new word that perfectly...
Well, we talked... Right, Rick? We talked about double dippers today. Today
yes,
is two
we were,
turning
we were.
Doubles, right? So,
absolutely.
So, Rick, for the listeners who don't know who you are and who haven't seen your first show, tell us a little bit about who you are.
Well, I started out actually as a paper boy, and I was delivering the papers in my neighborhood, but at the same time I was studying the piano, and the next thing I knew, my homeroom teacher needed me to play in his son's band that was going to play at all the school dances, And then there was a grown-up group that wanted me to play in their band because they needed a keyboard player. They were going to sneak me in and out of the bars and clubs because I was underage. And they promised my mother they'd pick me up and bring me home. So then I had those two things going on. And then the final straw was when my mother asked me to take over for her at the church. And that's when I had to go to the the paper company and say, there's no way I can deliver your newspapers anymore. But before I did that, I did win an award as a paper boy by getting a whole bunch of new customers. And it was like a lottery, and my name got chosen for a ski vacation in Canada.
Wow. And we were talking about that.
Yes. And I ended up on a bus and I got to go to ski at some resort. I still don't remember the name of it. Me and I think there was two other guys, three of us won the award or something like that. And they sent us up on a bus to ski in Canada for 4 days at some sort of resort for getting all these new customers. Now, some of those new customers were picked up on the very last day by this barber. The guy's name was Joe the Barber. He ordered three papers to kind of put me over the top. So I owe part of that award to him. If he's still alive or around, I highly doubt it.
Joe the Barber.
Yep.
So Rick, when we spoke the first time, we talked about the tours and jazz and peace and music. And I also got you to play a couple of tunes as well. Are we going to get some music from you today?
You are, because I'm always, I don't have any other place to go. This is my desk. You know what I mean? So, it'd be too much trouble for me to create an actual real desk. I mean, my workplace is a piano. I put the computer on top of it, and that's how I did that. It saves money on an office desk, by the way. If anyone wants to learn piano, you could probably take the lessons and, you know what I mean? Just cover it by what you save on an office desk.
Absolutely. And it's nice to be different, right?
It never occurred to me to have a desk in my whole life. You know what I mean? It's been my desk. I just was sitting in front of one already.
So Rick, can I get you to play a piece?
You can. So what I have for you today, a lot of times I just take, because it could be random. What I do lately is I take a song and then I go into something that brings more of the spiritual nature of music, because I think we really need that in the world today. People are waking up, and we've always seen music as entertainment purposes, which it's great for, and we know that it works well. We also know it works really well for, certain types of things like atmospheric music and stuff like that. But throughout history, it has proven over and over again that the spiritual qualities of music are awesome to get people, to help stimulate their intellect and advance them and to go along with their own personal growth, which is a, big thing going on now with people waking up and growing and saying, oh my God, I had no idea. And they're on a new journey. So I'm going to go into that. It's going to be a free improvisation. So we'll start out with something. It's a seasonal song called You Must Believe in Spring. Because I said, I have some podcasts coming up. And I asked a volunteer, what do you think I should play? And one of the volunteers said, I loved at some of the concerts you would play this song, You Must Believe in Spring. So I had to go find it. I mean, I couldn't even remember it. And we're going to give it a shot here.
Just as the tree that shone
this will reappear. It knows its emptiness is just the time of the frozen mountain dreams of April's melting streams. How crystal clear it seems you must believe in spring. You must believe in love and trust its honest way. Just as a sleeping rose awaits the gift of May, so in a world of snow, of things that come and go, where what you think you know, you can be certain of. You must believe in spring and love.
Wow. Thank you so much, Rick. You know what? As you were playing that, I'm doodling words here because I could feel the different presence of stuff. And I could feel like raindrops and rebirth and blossoming and plants and dropping seeds and like little parts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't talk about spring as growth, as a new beginning. So what does spring mean to you, Rick?
Well, you know, it is a like a time of rebirth for nature. You know, it's a whole new awakening. I mean, when you look at species and you look at different animals, you know, they come out in the spring, they blossom in the spring, out of hibernation, you know, all these things happen in the spring. And also, you know, in some areas, like we've been talking off camera, the spring is getting shorter, you know, and it's starting earlier and it's ending quicker and things like that. So all the moving parts kind of come together in the spring. It is a new opening. And for me, it was a perfect song because I was just returning from a winter activity. And here I was into a whole new sort of lineup of, you know, interviews with wonderful people like you and all kinds of different activities that are completely different from, you know, from my winter, the winter that I had just spent. So it's, and you know, when you brought up all the things that you heard and stuff in that, that's what I'm trying to do with these presentations is, you know, give people what they know music to be from basically, you know, the music that society gives them. You know, I mean, like I said, society's good. Our, you know, capitalist society is good at giving you music for entertainment value, you know, phenomenal, giving you music to help you buy a product, you know, even more phenomenal. But
well, we use music for entertainment, but we also use it for education.
For educational purposes. And, you know, the thing is, though, music has incredible spiritual components.
Yes.
And so when I improvise, which I was doing at the end of that, calling it part of a series called Free JA. And one of the things that I did just before I left to go away out west was for the wife of Julian Assange. She had heard about this thing that I was doing and wanted me to do something. A part of her little series that she was doing on YouTube. So that's available if someone wants to put Concert for Assange Rick on YouTube. You'll get to that. But anyway, the free improvisations are, again, I have to believe in, I not only have to believe in spring, but I have to believe in spiritual connection in order to pull that off, because I have to somehow connect and allow something to come through me musically that I don't really know what it's even going to be. And that brings us into, you know, what people are waking up to now. That's why there's so much a fascination with, you know, the hospice thing where the people are just before they die, they see their, you know, like people are like fascinated by that now. People who have crossed over, you know, they died and came back or whatever, and their stories, because we know there's so much more than what we thought or what we have been living in. And when I improvise like that, I mean, there's so much more there, because again, it's more of a spiritual type of like a stimulator of the intellect. You know, it gets you thinking, thought provoking, and yeah. That's kind of where we're all headed now. We're all trying to see what our potential is, as you know, what our brains have the ability to think our way into some really great things.
Well, I think it's really incredible that, you know, as you were playing that song, you know, that the raindrops, the rebirth, the planting, it also comes back to Jazz for Peace, right? Because you have your seven branches. If people go to the website and they see the seven branches. So I want to talk about these seeds that you plant to create these branches, to create awareness, and also some incredible funding and grants and all of that stuff. So let's get into that a little bit, Rick.
Sure, absolutely. And you're right. I mean, the spring is the perfect time, right? Those seeds fall in the fall. And then by the spring, you have an empowerment tree. And you know, it's so crazy. Our empowerment tree mimics that behavior, because what we do is our funding basically starts with someone who watches your podcast, like this podcast right here, and maybe they might want to just Google a few things or check out some other stuff. You know, we have our website that you display. They could go and see whatever they wanted to, you know. We do have a page, jazzforpeace.wordpress.com, that has all kinds of archived material where they can find, you know, things about other events, etc. But anyway, They watch your show. They send a comment to Jazz for Peace. You know, I just saw you. Your Miss Liz really brought all these things out about you. I'm so fascinated. What, you know, we'd love for you to do for us what you've done for all these other organizations or whatever they want to say. That little comment represents a seedling. That's like the seedling that falls off the tree. Now, let's say that usually happens in like November, right? September, October, November, when those seeds fall, you know, those the leaves change. That's kind of the time when you send your comment into Jazz for Peace, that's your November. You know what I mean? That's your October. Because
November.
Yeah, because from there, basically, we work together with you for an event that usually happens about 5 months later. So what is it? November, October, right? November, December, January, February. Ah, March, right? Spring, right? So it's a fall to spring kind of. It's basically a fall to spring format because we want, first of all, the first thing we want to do is get you from your comment to a confirmed event. So that comment, in order to do that, we have to grow the roots. So you start out with a comment. It's just a seedling. It's not a root yet. So now, thinking exactly like a tree, how do you go from this little comment to actual roots? Well, you do it by getting more comments, you know. So basically, we will create like a one-page document for that organization that basically shows where they are now and where they want to be and how this, working with Jazz for Peace on this event, is going to help them become more publicized, more sponsored, more, you know what I mean, it's going to help grow their donor base, you know, more befriended, all these little things, more prestigious. I mean, they're all little brands and they're all listed at the top of that tree. It's really jazzforpeace.org/tree that you see a tree. You literally see a tree and you can literally click on the branches. And branch number 7 says our goal, which is to make you all more in all of those areas, more funded. That's one of them, you know. So more funded, more prestigious, more befriended, all those little branches, and it's more sponsored, etc. And so what we do now is that one page you can show to your board members if you're an organization. You can show to your friends. You could show it to your family. You could show it to anyone that you feel really would like to see your dream make a bigger difference in the world than it's already making. And so once you do that, they look at it and guess what they do? They make their little comment. You know, you'll call them on the phone. Hey, what'd you think of that? Oh my God, you could, this sounds like I would love to be involved, you know, and that's their comment. Hopefully they send it to you in an email so you don't have to write it down while you're on the phone with them, but whatever. You collect the comments and send it to us. Guess what? Those are the roots. Okay. Now, what do we want to do from there? Well, just like, unfortunately, a tree, if you ever dig one up or see, it's not just those roots underneath that ground. It's an expanded thing with all these little teeny roots coming out of those roots. So we got to do it just like a tree, you know. We can't really skimp on this. I mean, really, we want your tree to be as big as possible, not as small as possible. So we're not going to skimp. So we have to expand those roots a little further. So what we'll do then is, we'll look at the comments, and some of them really will be, I can assure you, because we've done so many hundreds of these, over 850. Some of them will be really excited people. They'll look at our program and they'll think, wow, this Jazz for Peace thing can really advance this organization. And I really like this organization. I love what they do. Or I love my sister and her dream, and she's just so wonderful. Whatever they are. We'll get those people, and a lot of times they're board members, but sometimes they're just, you know, enthusiastic people. Get them to do the same thing. Take that little document and show it to their friends and their acquaintances. And see what that does. Automatically, it expands the donor base of that organization by getting their people involved. And they have good reason to be involved because all of them are going to be VIP guests of honor at the event. Every single one of them. And VIP guests of honor make out like bandits. If you ever are one, or you ever go to like those shows, the Oscars and all that stuff, all those guys, I don't know if anyone ever told you, but they get these gift bags that are like crazy. You know, they have like thousands of dollars in their gift bags.
Yeah, I've heard about these gift bags from the Oscars. You know, like a $1,000 chocolate bar in them. And
No one's ever invited me, but I've heard the stories, you know, and I probably won't turn it down because I'm like, just for the gift bag, it's unbelievable. And there are thousands of dollars of products in those things, you know. So what we do is we then utilize that to get our sponsors. You know, it's not rocket science. We're able to go to our sponsors and say, look at Jazz for Peace. Look at what we've already done. And guess what? We've got a whole bunch of wonderful, outstanding, top level people in the community that you can promote your products to. You know what I mean? At this VIP ceremony. So anyway, these people now are able to go and pretty much kind of get paid to go to the event, you know, through that process. So from there, we have a confirmed event from the VIPs. So that's why our slogan is help us plant the roots so we can grow your empowerment tree. So you have now helped us plant the roots by this process of you giving your comment and us helping you grow that seedling into the roots. You've helped us plant the roots. Now, with those roots planted, we can grow all of those branches because we have a confirmed event. Once you have a confirmed event, we can go to a venue and say, hey, this is the day, this is the organization, you know, this is the outstanding cause that's going to be, you're going to be supporting at your venue by having us at your, you know, all the things that we need to get the venue. From the venue, we can start with local, you know, the local sponsors. And, you know, a lot of these local people, some of them are going to say, wow, I didn't know about that organization right down the street. Well, guess what? You know about them now. They really are who they say they are. They're great. They're wonderful. We're going to stand by them. Why don't you come on board? And at the same time, improve your business, you know, get more people, you know. And so we do that. It's good for them. That's what we tell them. And it is, you know, we had a sponsorship. We had a venue once win an award in New York City just for having the catastrophe. Yeah, they won an award by the Village Voice. And we have it on the link, too. And you can click on it and see this guy. Yeah, I didn't know he was going to win an award. I just said, you're going to be glad because he likes to have world-class jazz anyway. And I said, you're going to be helping an outstanding, really outstanding cause. And, you know, so now we have a venue. Now we have local sponsors, like I told you, because these people are like, hey, you know, some of them already heard about it because they talk, you know what I mean? They're like, oh, I was waiting for you guys to come to me. I already heard about this from, you know, so-and-so. Yeah.
Why are you coming now? You should have been here 3 months ago.
Right. I golf with him every Tuesday, you know. That little kid's my caddy that came down. So, you know, we have the sponsors. Now we can get, guess what comes out now? The publicity. And again, if you do it in the right order, sometimes they find out about it before you get to them, even the publicity, you know, talk to the, oh, I heard about that thing. Yeah. You're the guy. Yeah. Can we, and I'll have, you know, and I, you can see me when you click on branch 3, which is publicity, because that's where we are now. You'll see me on NBC television pumping up this organization that had never even been on cable access, you know? And so they're delighted because they're getting, you know, publicity and awareness through the event. You know, you can get publicity and awareness for any kind of a world-class cultural event, or at least you should be able to, you know. But the outstanding thing is we're getting the publicity for the outstanding cause. So now we've got that done. From there, you can go to national sponsors, because national sponsors are actually going to be interested if you've gotten to that point. You see what I mean? What people do, I don't know why they do it, and they keep slipping on that banana peel. They just keep doing it. They try to go to the very top person, right, first, with nothing, you know? Yeah. Then we're going to go. And then when they don't hit a grand slam home run on the first pitch, you know what I mean? They swing and miss, and the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah.
So what we show them, all this information is for them to carry forward, because the better they do, the better our world is, if they're who they say they are. And the ones we represent really are, you know, that want to do this event. So basically, you know, a lot of these national names that you might see on our sponsorship flyers, that's the point that we went to them, just so you know. We went to those national guys by them looking at, wow, the community's already involved. We're crazy not to have our name on this. You see what I mean? The community is doing something without us. That's exactly what we don't want. The community is doing something, and how can we get our name on this is what they're kind of saying. how can we? And I said, well, you can still be a sponsor at this level, the gold levels, you know, silver, these kinds of things, and what you get and all that stuff. So now you've got the you know, national sponsors or international sponsors. And then above that is new and prestigious supporters. And you would be surprised who these, all these people, they have different, you know, all these different passions. You'd be surprised at who wants to save orangutans, to give you an example. You know, I was just talking to somebody on it. We were saving orangutans and the orangutan, and you know, you say orangutans, people laugh, right? But right. Then poor things, it's a horrible situation going on in Indonesia where they're chopping down the trees and they're invading their habitat. And, you know, I'll give you an example. That actor, Ed Begley Jr., is on, he's onto a lot of stuff, but he's onto that. And he's very passionate about it. So he wanted to be a part of that show and come to the concert. And he came on stage and talked between sets because I saw him backstage and I didn't even know he knew who I was, you know, and all that stuff. So my point is, and this is at a lot of these shows, you know, you never know which spokesperson or celebrity or, you know, politician that you might, that might be interested in your interest. You never know who is on board with what you're doing, you know, yeah. Other, it could be helping, whatever you're doing, you'd be surprised. And we try to match the passion of somebody who is a more high profile name to your mission. Because if you find a match like that, you're going to have somebody to going forward your every year, you know.
Well, it's that old saying, right? You don't know who's watching you and who's listening, you know.
You don't know. And I mean, I'll never forget the time that I hadn't heard from, we had an organization that we were assisting that's involved in injury prevention. And we hadn't heard from him in a while. And I just called the guy and I said, listen, just out of curiosity, if you could have anybody in the world come on board in support of your organization, who would you like? And he said, well, if I could have anybody in the world, I'd tell you, but you know, you're never going to find, you're not going to land for our little organization. I said, look, I don't want to hear that. Just tell me the name. He said, Ralph Nader. I said, okay, why? He said, because we're injury prevention and he's our hero. I said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to deliver Ralph Nader to your organization. And he's like, okay, well, I don't know. There's a joke, but it has a dirty word in it, so I can't tell it. But there's a scene in a story where there was a scene like that, and the guy kind of said, you know, I want to have sex with so-and-so. See who gets lucky first. You know what I mean? That's kind of what he was thinking. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what the guy said, it's a scene in The Sopranos, and the cops are telling Junior, we want to get Tony, and we want to get this one, we want to get that one. He's like, you know, and I want to have sex with Angie Dickinson, see who gets lucky first. And that's what he was thinking, you know, okay, and yeah. I want to do this, and let's see which one of us does it first. But I went through some channels, and I said, look, I actually just asked him, because all these guys, if they're really who they say they are, they're public servants.
Exactly.
They are. And you can just tell them. And they'll do it because they know, because that's what they are. They're public servants, you know. And I just said, you know, listen, I want you to tell Mr. Nader that I need him to come on board for this. You know, that's all I did.
And but if you don't ask, you don't know, right, Rick? Like,
well, see, here's the thing. That's what they say they are. That's who they say they are. They say they're people who care about the community, all these politicians. So that's who you say you are. I'm just asking you to do what you are. And if you really are that, you're not going to have a problem with me. You're going to say, you know what? I'm going to show you that I really am that person, you know? And yeah. It was injury prevention. They had there was synergy there. I got a letter from Ralph Nader, not only telling us how much he loved Jazz for Peace, but that he had researched the organization and he is very proud of their work, blah, blah, blah. So I was able to, and the guy was surprised. But I said, look, you have to realize these people are, they want to show the public that they're really public servants and not, you know what I mean, on the take politicians, et cetera. You know, it's an opportunity for them, for everybody. So that's, and then another branch on top of that is fundraising, new fundraising techniques. And that's an opportunity for us to show outstanding causes, fundraising techniques that we've learned from other outstanding causes. And we'll talk about this one, that one, and see which one works, you know. So we'll talk about, you know, gee, you know, here's something we did with this organization, you know, whether it was a silent auction or this or that. And what do you think? And just they'll say, wow, I didn't know that was I didn't know that technique was, let's try this one, you know. And these are fundraising techniques. Any of the branches can be massive, you know. So yes. The tree grows in its own unique way. This branch is going to grow this. This one's going to go be a bomb and grow here. This one's going to go way long. And every single branch looks different, just like a tree when you look out into the same thing.
Well, and I think it's really important that we take the baby steps, right? We don't just put a tree in the ground and say, oh, this is the way it goes. And like you said, if you go to the top of the level of the tree without watering the seed, without understanding the branches, you're bound to fail.
Well, because a tree doesn't do it. A tree's not dumb enough to do that. So why should we be? You know,
right? It just doesn't say, "Boom, I'm here."
It doesn't. But you know, we're trained to think that. We're trained to think, "Oh, I'm just gonna go to the top of the." No, don't grow any branches if you don't have roots. Wait till you have the roots, because a tree doesn't do it. If a tree doesn't do it, neither should you, because that's what we're growing—an empowerment tree.
Absolutely, Rick. I want to talk to you about your book. Is the book out? Did the book come out? Can you talk about it?
Yeah, so that book, it is, it's inches away. The author says it is inches away from coming out. It's just that some things happened, like there were some delays. And during those delays, I started putting in some other information, you know, that we think is extremely revealing. You know, some very interesting information that would really, I think, really make you want to have this book. Because I kind of blow the lid off some stuff. I reveal some secrets. You know, I say some stuff that, you know.
Well, you are the jazz player, so you got to play a little tune, right?
Yes, I have to. And the thing is, I think that's important that we do reveal some of these things today. You know, it's kind of like I was on a podcast yesterday and I was telling the story of Ice-T, who told something about the music industry on a podcast. And he was just talking to this guy, I think it was Bill Mayer's podcast, and he just nonchalantly said, you know, we noticed after working with these labels that the same people that own the prisons own the rap labels. The same people that own the prisons, you know? Yeah, and I was always wondering, how come this music has changed in such a way that if I follow the words on there, I'm going to end up in jail? So it's a conflict of interest. Yeah. So he revealed that. So I've revealed some things. I mean, unfortunately, I know too much, but I've revealed some things in the book, and she's had to put them in, in such a way, give them chapters and titles and all that stuff. But I think the things that we revealed are worth the wait. And so I think it's going to come out. I think it's going to come out this month. But I'm going to guess. If I'm going to put a guess on this month, that book is coming out.
Awesome. Well, you keep me posted with that book so that we can share it with the listeners out there when it's out.
It's called Rick Delarada, Paving the Path for Peace Through Music.
And everything you do is through the music, Rick.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for the music.
Right?
Yeah.
So can you tell us a couple of incredible people you've worked with over the years?
Well, you know, a lot of interesting things happened once I started playing. Like I told you, you know, all of a sudden, boom, this one thing happened. I have to quit my paper route. The next thing I know, I'm in high school and the college is contacting me, and I'm like, but I'm not in college yet. But they're like, we need you in our band. They needed me in the college band, but I was still in high school. And I was like, well, I don't know how I have my diploma. I can't go to college without the high school diploma. They worked something out with the high school.
Wow.
They worked out some deal. And instead of going to high school in my senior year, I went to college.
Well, look at you.
I went to college. And what they did was they said, you're going to be able to transfer these classes over to high school to graduate high school. And then you're going to be able to transfer some of them over to college for your first year to make it, you know, music school. They'll accept them. And then you can play in our stage band, our jazz ensemble. So that was that. And then I got then I got into real college, real music school from there. And from there, I just started playing around town and just trying to see what I could get myself into. And I used to call up this old guy because he was the only one who would talk to me. And he would talk to me. He would say, this old guy would answer the phone at this jazz club and he would talk to me. And so I figured if he's talking to me, I'll just keep talking back. He'd ask me, what are you playing? Who are you studying with? What are you working on? What are you doing? What are you doing this? What are you doing that? Okay, well, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Hey, kid, you know, give me a call back in another couple weeks. Let me know how you're doing then. That was it. You know, I get a call from that jazz club and the guy says, is this Rick Del Rey? I says, yeah. And he said, well, unfortunately, he said, I'm the son of the club owner. And the club owner had been shot. And he has, as the son, to take over the whole situation. And the only person he has to rely on is this old guy who was the club owner's best friend. We used to answer the phone. And the old guy told him to call me. And I said, wow, why did he tell you to call? He said, because we have some bands, big names coming in, and we need an opening act and MC for those bands. And I don't know who to call. And I said, you have your choice. And he said, you have this one. You have that one. You have Dizzy Gillespie. You have da da da. You have yeah. I was like, did you say Dizzy Gillespie? He says, yeah, Dizzy Gillespie's coming in real soon. We have him. Blah blah blah. I said, I think I'm just going to go with that one because the club could be closed by the time the other one sees. You know what I mean? I mean, so next thing I knew, you know, there was a dressing room in a club that had it said Dizzy Gillespie, Rick Del Rey. So just the dressing room for the two of us, and. You know, for like, you know, all the nights he played, the whole engagement, I had a dressing room with Dizzy Gillespie. So I was his opening act and MC, but I got to know him and, you know, all that stuff. And that was, you know, that was the first kind of well-known name that I had ever, you know, actually worked with and been, you got to know and been performed with. And for what's really weird is that years later, I received a call once from one of the great bass players in jazz, and anyone in jazz would know this person, but people outside of jazz, it's not a household name. His name is Eddie Gomez, and he was a great bassist. He played with Dizzy Gillespie, but he also played with Miles Davis and Chick Corea and all these big names, you know, and he had played with Bill Evans a lot, who was really known for playing with Bill Evans, a really great pianist, who, you know, I was certainly inspired by. So he calls me up on the phone. He said, you know, Rick, I have this melody that I wrote about Dizzy Gillespie, a tribute to Dizzy Gillespie. I said, oh, that's great. He says, yeah, I want to show it to you. I said, okay, I'll take a look at it. Why do you want me to see it? He said, because you knew, he said, I knew Dizzy, I worked with Dizzy Gillespie and I knew his music, but you knew Dizzy Gillespie as a person, right? And I said, yeah, I used to have the same dressing room with him and we used to talk about everything from alligator shoes to Charlie Parker, you know? And he says, yeah, well, I want you to write the lyrics because you knew him about him as a person. So I wrote the lyrics to that song and it's called Cheeks. And actually, why don't I just go over those lyrics? You can hear it. If you want to hear
absolutely.
What
absolutely.
All right. So it kind of goes like this. I don't even know. I hope I still remember the melody. He made his name in bebop. He played a style that swung in a new way. But many folks said that it wasn't music, it was just a bunch of wrong notes, but he stuck to it. And then he did time proven wrong, and just when they thought they had him out, he took a trip over to Cuba, and it was a... So in other words, what I was telling people that they didn't know, but that Dizzy had told me, was that him and Charlie Parker came up with bebop, but some people said it was just a bunch of wrong notes and they kept doing it anyway. And he let the music prove them wrong. And just when they thought they had him all figured out, he went over to Cuba and started what is now called Latin jazz.
Oh.
So that's what that song says. And I was able to say all of that in one chorus because I knew right from the horse's mouth. You see what I mean?
Yep.
Now, then the rest of it goes, and I hope I can remember. saying in that verse, which goes by really fast, was that, and it was us. So he took a trip over to Cuba, and it was a big step for Latin jazz. So because kind of launched Latin jazz, combining Dizzy Gillespie with these Cuban musicians. Okay, so big step for Latin jazz. Now he proved the world could thrive. World could thrive, peace and love and music. So now he was uniting cultures and proving that we could get along and thrive and do positive things together through music. See what I mean? So he was kind of a little bit of a germicide of a germ of Jazz for Peace when he did that. And then after that, they formed something called the United States Ambassadors. And they realized that jazz could bring goodwill to other countries and shed good light on the United States. So he became part of the Jazz Ambassadors, Louis Armstrong and these other people, and they took them around, and that's the first Jazz for Peace. So this guy that I had been placed with was kind of like laid the foundation for us to build on, which is in my Jazz for Peace poem. So he spoke the message with his bent horn. You know, he spoke the message with his bent horn. So he's and the face. So with the bent horn and the face, that got all puffy. So if you saw just he played like that. He got all puffy when he played his trumpet. That is why they called him Cheeks.
Oh.
That was the name of the song, Cheeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it was fantastic because I combined this great melody that this guy wrote, of his knowledge of Dizzy musically, which he nailed on that melody. And then I was able to put my experience of Dizzy as a person into that with the lyrics.
And I like something that you said, Rick. You said everybody said that he played the wrong notes, but the wrong notes actually were the right notes for him.
Well, they totally were the right notes. It's just that's the way we, you know, it's a lot of things is not humans, it's human nature, you know. Yeah. And one of the people who was taken aback and said, sounded like a bunch of wrong notes, was actually Louis Armstrong, who then reassessed it after he said he you know, let the music to talk, kept playing. And then after a while, Louis Armstrong came on board with it. So you have to realize there's going to be that, you know, sometimes, the people that you know wish would be on your side right at the get-go might not right away, you know. Yeah. They might have their reservations and all that stuff, and they might be the last to come on, or they might come on somewhere on the road on the journey.
Absolutely. Well, Rick, we're almost at the end here, and I want to get your tea in before we forget about the tea, because this is why we're here for tea, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you gave me the words truthful, empathetic, and altruistic. Yes, I had trouble with that word the last time, and I have trouble with it again. Can you tell me why you gave me those three words for your T?
Okay, so, well, you know, truthful for the first letter T is because in all honesty, everything we do is built on honesty. So when we ask for a comment, we don't want you to copy somebody else's comment and send us what the Red Cross said. We just want your honest words. They could be good, they could be bad, they could be indifferent. We don't care as long as they're honest. Just say what you feel, because we're going to go all the way forward with honesty. You know, the bottom line is you're getting this inner wealth from your contribution. And that's what makes us humans. You know what I mean? And that's why it's kind of dehumanizing some of the behavior that's causing people towards addiction and towards, you know, all of these psychological problems and these issues with war and all the traumatization and PTSD and all that crazy stuff. That's taking a more dehumanizing path. But as a humanizing path, we're people who want to really, we want to see our unique contribution to society realized so that not only can we help others, but enrich our own spirit doing that. So that's the first one for truthful.
Well, and it's part of your book as well, because you said you spilled some truths. So, you know, you're being truthful with the book.
Well, it's really part of the book now. So, you know, and when that book gets released, you'll see the last chapters. It's about, you know, a handful of those last chapters at the end that you'll see some real amazing revelations, amazing stuff. So you have that, and then you have empathy. Well, empathy is very important. You know, one of the reasons that we mess up a lot is because we, as kids, you know, you don't realize maybe you're bullying some kid or whatever, and your lack of empathy causes trauma. Well, you see, as an adult, you will regret that because you're grown up and you have empathy, and you're like, oh my God, if I ever knew that he would have been traumatized, I wouldn't have made fun of him, something like that. You know what I mean? So getting that empathy as quickly as possible is important. Is it human nature for you to slip around and mess up here and there? Fine. But, you know, you don't have to go all the way through life like that. I mean, gather some empathy and try to see both sides of the situation. In our solution for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and what many people said we have solved, it's just a matter of Israelis and Palestinians coming together now to vote for in favor of this, is basically for Israelis and Palestinians, because, you know, I see videos where Israelis are so traumatized about what's going on, and they're traumatized at you know, that they don't want all of this war and genocide and all this killing. So you've got both parties. And what we want to do is take have them both vote for a ceasefire with the funds that are already allotted for wartime purposes to be redirected to outstanding causes to benefit both of the societies, both of these people. And you know what? We feel, after working with Israelis and Palestinians for over 20 years, starting with our concert at the United Nations in 2002, of which many people have weighed in on, from Barack Obama to the Prime Minister of Kenya and everybody in between, we feel that they'll both vote in favor. They'll both vote for the same thing, and that is to have these funds redirected to start healing both, all of them. Heal. Let's do good. You know, let's help the Israeli people. Let's help the Palestinian people by directing these funds accordingly as they have voted in favor of it together. So that's empathy, right? So that's why that one's important. I mean, you can solve the biggest problem in the world with empathy, which I just demonstrated that we did.
Yep.
Last one is altruism, because you know what? I didn't say that one time. I didn't say that with you because I was still questioning. People used to make fun of people that were altruistic because they thought you were out of touch. You know, if you're part of the, you know, if you're going to survive on this planet, you got to throw that altruism out of the way. You know, you got to get tough here, and you got to be a tough guy, and you got to get in the boxing ring. You got to, you know, beat your way forward. And the bottom line is, as people wake up, altruism, you know what? In the big, big picture, we're not even altruistic enough.
Wow.
Because the stuff we're finding out now about what a little part this is, you know what I mean? And these things with people that are discovering in the afterlife, and people who die and come back, and the stories they're telling, and the things that we're learning from other, you know, about these pyramids and all these things that we're learning, other societies and other advancements and stuff. We're crazy not to be altruistic, because we're limiting our potential for possibilities, you know. And that's why what Jasper P said a lot, people always said we were too good to be true. They always said that. Well, look at the things that are too bad to be true. You know, look at 9/11, which I witnessed on top of my fifth floor walk up in, you know, the East Village, less than a quarter of a mile away. Look at what I witnessed. If anything too bad to be true can be true, so can something too good to be true as a response. So we have to consider the fact that not only were we doing the right thing by being altruistic, but we weren't even being altruistic enough, because we were hesitant. You know, I was hesitant. I didn't want people to think I was crazy, even though I was altruistic, just because I was altruistic. But I didn't want to stop being altruistic. I knew that. But now I want to come out of the closet and say, we're actually not even altruistic enough.
And I like it because you know how I like uniqueness. I like to be different. And I like the flow of opening those doors for the possibility of the endless of being different. You know, if we put ourselves all in the same box, we're not actually making a difference. What's the word I'm looking for here? Miss Liz, come on.
We're just running on a hamster wheel.
Right. And we're all doing the same pattern. We're all doing the same system. There's no growth. There's no new seeds that are being planted, right? The roots are not being grown.
Nothing's growing. You're just running around and getting nowhere. You're expending a whole lot of energy for nothing in return in that world. And that's the world that you need to get a return in order to rejuvenate your own spirit.
Right. And you need to plant new seeds. Like if something's not working, plant a new seed, plant a new tree, because sometimes the tree, it might have had some kind of, you know, bad chemicals that were added to the seed. You know, sometimes we have to rebirth ourselves. And that's what you did at the beginning of the show is with the song, is with the spring. And, you know, the rainwater and the rebirth and the planting of seeds. And, you know, that's what I got when you played that song, Rick, was, you know, that it's okay to rebirth ourselves. It's okay to do different. It's okay to plant a new seed, plant a new tree, you know, get to know your branches. Don't just focus on the big tree itself. Focus on the little branches that are connected to it. And that's what Jazz for Peace is. It's a bunch of different branches that are all coming together and making this incredible tree of empowering, you know, others.
Yes. And, you know, grow the tree within this proven successful model so that we actually get a tree at the end. You know what I mean? Because this model has been proven and tested over and over again. And every time something good comes into it, we pass all that information forward. So that's why when we say help us plant the roots, you're really going to get a tree if you help us plant those roots. I don't know if it's going to be a bush or a redwood, but you're going to get a tree. Once we have the roots, we're going to grow something together, and it's going to advance you, you know, closer from where you are now to where you need to be.
Well, and you might have a small tree and then a year later have a bigger tree, right? Because it takes time to build that tree.
We've done that with many organizations. We've had many organizations say, you know, we didn't get it all. We didn't understand it. Now that the event's over, we get it. And we want to grow a big one over here in Sun Valley or wherever it was, you know, where there's some other place that they have a division.
So, Rick, what final words do you have for everybody today?
I would say my final words are take a look. Start maybe now that you've seen what we've done in these 25 years or almost 25 years, start considering some of the solutions that we have now. Because by helping all these causes, we now have literally come across solutions. When I started on 9/11, I had things that I knew to be true. I knew that the art form of jazz and music in general could basically break through any kind of, anything that could possibly divide human beings from race to nationality to creed to language, anything. It could break through those in a positive way. But now, from helping all these outstanding causes, I know that we could solve, you know, some of the biggest conflicts in the world, as I had explained on that. I also know that we can, with technology, boost altruism, which is going to boost our possibilities for amazing things to happen. So for an example, we have technology now that can, let's say it can flip a burger, or let's say it can do a job that a human being's been doing. Now, a lot of people are worried, oh, that's gonna take my job away and then I'm not gonna have a job and then I'm gonna starve to death. No. This is what you can do. You can take the money that from that, because it's still generating the income, and now we can investigate your passion in life rather that you've been holding back because you've had to go in there and flip that burger or whatever it was you were doing all those hours. You know what I mean? Who are you really? And probably inside you is the seed of an amazing passion that you might have to save pigeons. You know, it could be anything. I mean, these people with these passions, they could do so much more than I could do in that division. you know. And there are organizations like Jazz for Peace for One that will help you if you want to save turtles in Acumal, Mexico. Jazz for Peace can help you. I only say that because we've already saved over 2 million turtles in that place.
Well, that's just awesome.
Yeah. But like I said, I don't know what your passion is, but we'll find out, because we can now give some of that money to you. And instead of going there and flipping that burger, let the machine do it. Give some of that money to you so that you can now help some of these, because we don't have enough people to solve the problems. And now we do, if we just give them the chance, give them the opportunity, and give them some of the people and organizations to work with that can help them get from their dream to their realization that helps our world.
Well, thank you so much, Rick. And it was a pleasure sitting and having tea with you again. I always enjoy when my guests come back because I get to know you guys a little bit more on a deeper level. So I want to thank you again. And if for anybody that would like to know more about you, Rick, and how they can reach out to you and connect with you, where can they find you?
You know, a great idea is our generic email address. It's info@jazzforpeace.org. And you could just send a comment. And that comment, believe it or not, whether you like it or not, is actually a seedling of an empowerment tree. It may or may not grow. All seedlings don't always grow. But if you want it to grow, if you have the will, we have the way.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Rick. I really had an enjoyable time and I loved the music. Thanks again for playing for us. For all the listeners and viewers, we will be back at 7 p.m. with Ann Charles. She'll be back here and she'll be talking about her book series, Deadwood Mystery Series, Jack Rabbit Junction Mystery Series, Dig Site Mystery Series, and Deadwood Undertake Series. We're going to talk about a lot of series and book series. And don't forget to bring your tea hats, because me and Anne, we will be wearing tea hats tonight because Anne is my tea girl. So we will be doing that tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, I will see everybody at tonight for the second tea of this week. And don't forget, if you haven't subscribed, go over and subscribe to Miss Liz's YouTube channel. And I'll see you guys tonight at 7 p.m.